hope you will be able to understand my accent. This is the second time. I always carry this thing. I don't know what it is. When you say it, I'm not a bishop or anything like that. So that's supposed to be a joke. That's right. It's good to be back. My name is Nathaniel. I said last time I was here that if you can call my last name, say, I don't know. Because my last name is Adaonu. I grew up, I was born in Togo, part of my life. For the sake of those who were not here when I preached the last time here, I was born in Togo, which is a very tiny country. You don't get to hear about Togo until you see someone like me. It's a very tiny country. I was born there and grew up in France. In case you're wondering about my accent, I have a French-English accent. I have three children, Samuel, 12 years old, and my twins, Rachel and Nathaniel, they're 9 years old. What else? I am RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary grad from Orlando, the real campus. That's come from Orlando. That's supposed to be a joke between those who went to RTS. Yes, we are working in four countries. Togo is one of them. Senegal, Ivory Coast, Gambia. Our hope is to see the gospel established in West Africa. We are working in Muslim context. For those who don't know Africa, it only takes you a few minutes to look through the map and you'll find out that we are on front line, that Islam is growing. But that should not scare any of us here. And I'm assuming that we are in the Presbyterian Church, and therefore we believe that God is sovereign and that God will make it to pass and he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In fact, I wanted to share with you this morning how not to lose heart. Every time I come to a church like that, I get passionate, I get motivated, not because of what God have done for us, but because of what we are called to do for God. And I would like to use a very significant portion of God's words because I believe it speaks so significantly to all of us who care about the message of the gospel, all of us who care about the gospel, some of us like us in this side of the pulpit, and some of you sitting on the pew. But what a wonderful opportunity it is for us to all share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed to be called sons and daughters of Most High. I am blessed to know that I was chosen before the foundation of the world, and that is nothing that I've done. Who have thought that an African man like me will be with you and call you brothers and sisters? Only God can do that. And so it is a privilege. It is a joy. It is whoever you are, whether you are elder, you are pastor, you are missionary, you are evangelist, you are, I was talking to a brother before I walk in, that whether you are computer tech, whoever you are called to serve the Lord who you are and where you are, and where he placed you. Not only that, you should serve the Lord, but you should also enjoy him forever. After all, we're going to be enjoying God forever. Amen? Amen? We will. Why don't you enjoy him now as we are still here? So open your Bibles as we continue our reading. I wanted to pick up from where Pastor Will left over. We're going to continue. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we will continue from verse 13. From verse 13, it is written, I continue by reading that, it is written, I believe, therefore I spoken with that same spirit of faith. We also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Pray with me just for a moment. Our Father, we just pause for a moment. For we need to hear you speak to us. Oh, speak to us. For your word is a light. For your word is bread. For your word is a wisdom. For your word is a joy. And for your word is a peace. So speak to us. May you use my mouth. May you use my meditation of my heart to bless your people and draw them closer to yourself this morning, we pray. Amen. One of the things that I like about this text, and I have to confess that this is the second time I'm preaching from this text. One of the things that I like about this text is what Paul has to say in this text. If you read this text carefully, you will see that Paul starts the chapter by saying, "Therefore, we do not lose hearts." Then almost at the end of the text, he will repeat exactly, precisely, the same word in verse 16. He said it again. Therefore, we do not lose hearts. Now, one of my professors called Richard Pratt, I'm sure he's beloved by PCA, everybody knows Richard Pratt, says, I was sitting in his class, he said, well, now when you read Paul and you get to the point where Paul keeps saying, therefore, 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 what the trick is to ask yourself, what is there for you to see? Now, I take that into account, and I ask myself, why Paul keeps saying, therefore? He said it almost at the beginning and almost at the end. That means that Paul really wants to tell us something very important, very significant. You see, and I ask myself, why is it? Paul doesn't have to say it twice. Well, he does so because he's honest. He's honest about you, he's honest about me, he's honest about the church, he's honest about God's people, he's honest about the elects, and he knows that life in the church is not always easy. He's honest about himself, and he knows that being a Christian is not something always easy. Now, if you are in a Muslim context, this will make sense to you. To call yourself Christian is basically a death sentence. You know, and you know, and you know that you can easily be killed. So, life, Christian life, is not just to come and sing nice songs. Although all those are good things, but Paul wants us to know something in light of this text. He's talking about something very, very significant. And he's honest. And he wants us to be honest, doesn't it? He wants all of us sitting here this morning to be aware of the fact that life, Christian life, is not always easy. You know what? I would love to go back to my early days when I was not Christian at all and begin to do those crazy stuff I used to do. But the more I think about it, the more I know that the grace of God is sufficient. So Paul knows that life, Christian life, is not easy. So he's saying, well, you have to realize that really, life in the church is also not easy. I know some of you are saying, well, I'm Presbyterian after all, and I believe in the eternal security of God's chosen people, and that I was, you know, chosen before the foundation, and I'm elect. And you see, I do too. We are all chosen people sitting in this room. And so there is no problem to think, well, if I'm chosen, then whatever happened, it's fine. Life goes on. And I'm living in grace, so whatever happened, whatever I do, it's fine. Well, I tell you what, I have a news for you. That's not what Paul is talking about here. Well, I have to put this in a context because I'm African. Well, I tell you what, life in Africa is not easy. Let alone to be Christian is not easy. Whether you believe in eternal security of God's chosen people, whether you are elect, whether you are chosen, whether you believe in the predestination, all that we believe as a Reformed folks, whether we believe in all those things, it is true. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. Paul is talking about the way we live, the way we embrace Christ, the way we accept Christ in our heart, the way we draw ourselves to Him and come to His arms. In another word, our living, eating, acting, moving inside and outside of church and all the benefits that comes with it. That is what Paul is talking about. And he's saying, if you are not careful by paying attention to those things, whether you have been Christian for 40 years or 50 years or 1 month old young Christian, you have to pay attention to that. Otherwise, you will lose hearts. So how do we do it so we won't lose hearts? Well, he gives us some many reasons why we should not lose hearts. And what I want to do with you, I'm going to give you at least four. Well, I'll give you three since we are Presbyterian. I'll give you three. Why we should not lose hearts. Now, one thing that we have to keep in mind if we believe that we are Christian and we do not want to lose heart, one thing we should do is to make the gospel the base, the focus of our life. What is this gospel? What is this gospel? So the gospel is the reign and the rule of Christ in our heart. I said that last time and I said it again. The gospel, the good news, is the reign and the rule of Christ in our hearts. And I must add, not only the reign and the rule in our heart, but in every sphere of our life, including your job, your family, and how you make a decision, your decision-making process. And so Paul is saying, in order to not lose heart, you must make the gospel the center, the basis, the focus point of our life. Why do I say that? Why do I put it that way? Well, you will see it in verse 1, in the first few verses. You see, the tone here is that Paul is concerned that there are people in the church actually busy building the church around the gospel that is not really a true gospel. I'm not going to mention the state. Well, I'll go ahead and mention it. I was in Texas, and I was sitting in Houston. And I was in my hotel, as usual, alone, and reading my report, talking to my folks in Africa. Every time they call, there is an issue. Sometimes I turn the phone off so I can have some quiet time. And I said, well, I flipped through the channels, and I was flipping through the channels, and I was amazed to see that there were a big church, about, I would say, 15,000 members church. Big, I'm not going to mention the name. And I wanted to pay attention. I say, what makes people so attractive to this church? I'm going to try to listen to this, heard the pastor. And the pastor came and started preaching. To my amazement, he was preaching nothing but self-gratification. You can do it by yourself. You can do anything you want. If you can just do this, you can just do that, you can just do this, you can do it. And I kept waiting and waiting to hear anything about Jesus Christ. And one moment, not even one moment passed, this preacher mentioned Christ. Is it the gospel? I tell you what, if you go to those churches, you will lose hearts. If you go to the church, if you are a Christian and think that you can do it by yourself, what you're telling yourself, in fact, I don't need God. I don't need Christ. And therefore, I can do it by myself. So why come to the church? Why be Christian? Well, I have a news for you. If you do that, you will lose hearts. Because you will come to the time where you will not be able to do it at all, and you are going to depend on someone. And since you said you don't need that person who happened, or that God who happened to be Jesus Christ, then you end up losing hearts. So what Paul is telling us here is there are people who are busy building the church around the gospel that is totally different from the gospel that he, Paul, preaches. And that begs for the question, how the gospel that Paul preaches is different from the gospel that people preach? Well, you see it in verse 5. He says, we do not preach ourselves. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that they're saying, well, I am the Savior. I am the one who died for you. And I am the one that was crucified for you. He's not saying anything like that. No. When you listen to these kind of people, basically, they do share the gospel. They do talk about God. But somehow, they have this territorial kind of idea that the church belongs to them. And that they are the one that built that church. And that church can survive or will not survive without them. And Paul is saying, no, I don't preach those kind of gospel. I don't like that kind of gospel. And in fact, Paul is very much concerned that we should have some way to use the gospel and apply the gospel to our lives. He's very much concerned that we should have some order in the church. And what he's saying is that the gospel must be the base, the center, everything that we do in our lives. We do not preach ourselves. And he goes on to say, I like this. He goes on to say, if we do preach ourselves, we do it as your servant. Do you see that? I don't know what kind of gift you have in this church. Whoever. Did I see people play nice music here, piano, organ, and violin, and all that? Who is our audience here, by the way? Is that you? You are not the audience. Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is the audience in this room. And Paul is saying that you are serving the church and you are a servant. And that order should be maintained. Whether you're pastor, you're elder, you're deacon, you're missionary, you're evangelist, whoever you have to be, you are a servant. If you don't maintain that order, you'll end up losing hearts. If you know anything at all, can I walk a little bit here? I'm a Presbyterian, but you never know. If you know anything at all about the Corinthian church, you know that it was a dysfunctional church. It was a church where people were sleeping with their own, you know, stepmother, and immorality and all kind of things were happening. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 3? There were some people who were saying, well, I am for Paul. I am for Cephas. I am for Apollos. And they will come on the big cathedral and they will sit down and listen to these people. They were claiming people, I am for this person. And Paul came and said, wait a minute. Who died for you? Did Paul die for you? Did Peter or Cephas die for you? None of these people died for you. So you should not worship these people. In another word, what he was saying is that there were people in the church who were promoting their own agenda, their own way of seeing the church, the way they see the church. They were in fact saying, this is my church, my program, my ministry, this is my kingdom, and you should not be close to that because it belongs to me. The worship leader said, oh, don't get close. Did you ask me permission before you start playing this music here? The pastor said, well, be careful. Whatever you do here, you have to ask me. After all, I'm the pastor here. Now, I'm not asking you to start doing some crazy thing here. So people have the way to do things, and they have it in their mind. They have it in their heart. They have their private agenda. And you see it in verse 2. You say, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. What does that mean? Well, what Paul is saying that we have renounced the idea that we can use the church to fulfill our agenda. We can use the church to do something that we want to do. We can use the church to reach what we want to do. They have their own agenda. They have their own way of reaching their private agenda in that they have that they are not revealing publicly to the church. And Paul is saying, be careful. Be careful. For that can be dangerous. For that is your identity. And Paul is saying that should not be your identity. Your identity, you sitting in this room, your identity is found and find in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. He is the one who died for you. Every program you do here, it is for the glory of the Savior, the one who died for us. I know all of us here sitting here have some private and personal agenda. We do. Whether you say it publicly, you act publicly or not, you do have a public, private agenda. You have some stuff in your heart that you would love to see happen. You have things in your heart. If you are people like me, you will love to see the whole church become a missionary church. I want to take all of you to Africa or India or somewhere in the jungle or someplace and have you preach the gospel. I would love that. That's my private agenda. Now, if you are a musician, you would love to have people playing classical music, so beautiful. The worship leader, he wants the whole church to become a contemporary music church. If you are ministry, women ministry, we say, well, we don't have much women ministry activities going on in this church. We all have a private agenda, isn't it? And Paul is saying, be careful. Let me give you a test. I want you to fill in the blank. I want Safe Harbor Presbyterian to be a place where, fill in the blank, I want it to be a place where pastor preach doctrine. The doctrine is not preaching. In this place, I'm out of here. It's too shallow. Missions is not here. I'm out of here. I know, I've been in church. I grew up as a pastor's kid. My father was a Presbyterian minister for 40 years. I cannot tell you what I see in the church. I'm 47 years. People fight over carpet in the church. Do you know that? The windows are not very nice. It's too cold here. It's too warm here. The chair are too low. The chair are too high. The screen is too blurry. It's too clear. Can I say this? Look, I will leave the mess for Will to clean up when I'm gone. But what all of us should say, I want my church to be a place where the gospel is preached and the gospel shines. Isn't that what Paul says in verse 6? For God said, let light shine in our in the darkness, make our light shine in our heart to give us the knowledge of glory of God in the face. And he goes on and talk about all that. I'm sorry if I give you a hard time with this. I'm an African. And very soon I'll be gone. I'll be going home. And but being in a church for a long time, I know that we can have issues like this. Not only that, we might lose heart because the gospel was not kept as a defining center of our church or the basis of our life, but we can lose heart or we can be disappointed if the gospel is not powerful enough in our lives. When I go to a Muslim context, I go with one reason. And that is, I know that God is watching my back. that no human being can watch my back. In fact, if I died, what's the problem? I'm just going ahead of you. If we do not believe in the gospel, that the gospel can change us, can change our life, can transform our life, can bring us renew our lives and give us more passion, more love for Him, we will lose hearts. We will lose hearts. One of my dear friend, Dr. Steve Childers, was my professor in RTS, says the more we see our weaknesses, the more we let the gospel shine in our lives. The more you reveal your weaknesses, the more Christ shines in your life. So weaknesses in the church is not a bad thing. Why we call each other brothers and sisters in church? Because we can share our burdens, our difficulties, our challenges. The beauty of the gospel is that it transforms us, it changes us, it makes us a new creature. And Paul goes on to say in some cases that the old man is gone and now the new creation is here. We are new in Christ. Only the gospel can change us. Only the gospel can model me. Only the gospel can do His work in me. When was the last time you feel like you need to pray more? Not out of duty, but out of love. When was the last time? When was the last time you as an elder or deacon or whoever you come here and do it out of love? I have to go to, we still have a session meeting, I have to be there. Well, you don't have to. But you do it out of love. The more you do that, the more the gospel is powerful enough. Whether you are Christian for 30 years, for 40 years, for 50 years, for 70 years, for 100 years, for 1,000 years, if the gospel doesn't renew you, doesn't change you, doesn't make you love Him more and more, then something is wrong with you. Again, Dr. Richard Pratt said this, and I love this. I say this all the time. Well, Dr. Scott is here. He can testify to that. If you go to the doctor or the hospital and you have a monitor, someone is sick, you have a monitor, and he goes ping, 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 then you know it's a good sign, right? But when you go and you realize that the monitor is going pee, 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 then you know something is wrong. There is no life in that person. Is that right? Maybe. I don't know. I'm a Bible guy. I'm not a medical guy. But that's what I was told. If your life, your Christian life, is just a routine thing, just I have to do it, then something is wrong with you. No more life in you. Every day when you wake up, you have to love more and more Christ. How can I make it to love more and more Christ? How can I read more my Bible? How can I pray more? Did I say that is easy? No. But there is a reward in it. Not only that we might lose heart, so we will lose heart if the gospel is not the basis of our life, but also we will lose heart if the gospel is not powerful enough in our lives. But we will also lose heart if we fix our eyes on only the troubles that come on our ways. I recently have a friend of mine who was a pastor for a long time. I've been a pastor since 1992. And 3 months ago, I have just found out that he's not in the ministry anymore. It breaks my heart. And I called him and asked, "Why is it?" He said, "It's too much trouble. Too much, you know, backstabbing, too much politics, too much problem, difficulties and all that." And I said, "Is that all? That's all? If that is the only thing that gets you out of the ministry, then you've never been, you don't understand the ministry at all. Who said that the troubles are not going to come? Who said that when you become a Christian, life is going to be nice and peaceful and joyful? Yes, we will all have that. But Jesus said, we will go through it. That's why he said, I am with you all day long. We need to trust more and more Christ, and run when the trouble comes to us, run into the loving arms of our Savior. Brothers and sisters, are you listening? Troubles are not bad things. I know I am in the Western world, and when I say that, probably next time you're not going to come to this church. Troubles are not bad things. Troubles point you to Christ. Troubles make you stronger in Christ. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward, and you should look forward to that day when we will have no more troubles, no more pain, no more disease, no more cancer, no more death. And we will be sitting under the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we will be sitting on the table with him. And we will rejoice. And we will eat. And we will drink. I will be drinking the best wine I ever drink. So why lose that? Paul says, all this, our momentary troubles. Did you hear that? Our momentary troubles. Oh, he was the one that was beaten, I thought. He had a car wreck, shipwreck. I was in Ephesus in Turkey, and I saw all the places that Paul went through, and I said, oh my goodness, I should forget everything that Muslims are doing with us in Africa. That's nothing compared to what Paul went through. And he is the guy who's saying, it's nothing. It's nothing. He goes on to say, we always, in verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So when you go to trouble, don't say, where is Christ? God, where are you? Well, he's there. He's there. Here is what Dr. Sukdeo said. He's a director for Barnabas Aid. It's an organization that works in persecuted context. This is what he said. No life after death, but life in the midst of death. He's talking about when you go through trouble. And he goes on to say that troubles, Jesus, God never said that we're not going to trouble. He said, no life after death, but life in the midst of death. No triumph after trial, but triumph during trial. No strength over against weakness, but strength through weakness. No joy when sorrow is gone, but joy while sorrow is here. Do you hear that? It might not make sense to you. What he's saying is, you will never experience the joy in Christ if you don't go through trouble. You never experience the joy or the trial and the powerfulness of God if you are not in a situation. In another word, what Paul Sukdeo is saying is, when we see our troubles bigger in front of us, we should see God more bigger. When the trouble comes on your way, remember that God is big and can carry you through it. So why lose hearts? Brothers and sisters, I can keep going on and on and on. As you know, I'm a African Presbyterian, and I can keep going with all these things. But he said, we fix our eyes on what is seen. We fix our eye on what is unseen, or what is seen, or whatever he says there. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. You know, this is deep and profound. You have to understand that none of us here have seen God yet. And that is faith. That's faith. And it's asking you to cling to that faith, to cling to that cross, the rugged cross, the old cross. That doesn't make sense to people. It's a foolishness to people, but it is a wealth for those who cling to that cross. So fix your eyes. Now, people ask me, how do you cope with these troubles when I have 85 churches all together in Africa, in four countries? And every time I say this, last time I was here, every time the telephone rings, there are two things. The first one is my wife to say, how you doing? The second thing, when he comes from Africa, it is to tell me that there is trouble and I need to solve it. And that's what that comes. I can only lean on the cross. I can only lean on the cross. For Christ is the most wise with the wisdom. And I fix my eye on Christ. And I trust him. And I believe that he will get me through all this trouble. Brothers and sisters, I am going to finish, but I want to tell you, do not lose hearts. Do not lose heart. Why? Because I believe that every decision you will make will be based on the gospel. Do not lose heart, because I believe that the power of the gospel will be strong enough to carry you through. And I ask you to not lose heart, because all the troubles are going through are just temporary. It will not be eternal. If you do that, he will come and say, come, and well done, my good servant. Let's bow our head for the prayer. So help us, God.
because we will not lose heart. And we will fix our eye on you to carry us through the troubles, the challenges, the difficulties, and the gospel will be real to us. Help us, God, we pray. Amen.